Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from the cloudy city of Angels, Los Angeles, California. The Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you by Farmers and Farmers. We've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay ahead of the game. Put their experience into play at farmers.com. Well, it is not exactly a sleepy, newsless Wednesday. Each story trumped the other. It's because it's Thursday. I'm sorry. It is not a newsless Thursday. All right. So, like, this is you ever sitting around with guys and everybody plays topper? Everybody plays topper? They want to top each other? That's what happened. Last night, Dwayne Wade hits a ridiculously lucky game-winning shot and wins the game. And then fast forward, LeBron James goes one-on-one, loses the basketball, hits his own one-foot step back, essentially wins the game, albeit not at the buzzer for the Lakers. And then today was Kyler Murray weighs in at, 204 pounds at 5 foot, just a hair over 5 foot 10, meaning he either grew or learned how to stand slightly taller with slightly thicker socks. Only to be topped by Jason Witten ditching Monday Night Football to go back and play for the Dallas Cowboys. And that's where we start. Because Bryce Harper has just agreed to terms with the Philadelphia Phillies for a new record, $330 million contract over 13 years. That's a lot of zeros. It's two commas and more than a quarter way to a third. A new league record. That's why Scott Boras is the best and Scott Boras is the worst. Whether it's for the sport or for his client, there isn't and there has never been anyone better than what Scott Boras has been able to accomplish. Right? For the guys who work for him and frankly for the market, he creates these imaginary scenarios, has conversations, waits till just the right moment. Even when the market is dead, he finds a way to make it be very much alive. Remember, there was collusion 2 weeks ago. Then Manny Machado signs, and they wait. And suddenly, maybe the Dodgers are interested. Yesterday it was, let's meet with the San Francisco Giants. Let's create some sort of auction scenario where the Philadelphia Phillies, who were always the leader to get Bryce Harper, who said they wanted to spend stupid money, would feel like they were willing to do whatever it took, and they did. An 8-year deal is not that smart. A 9-year deal feels slightly dumb. A 10-year deal is stupid. What does a 13-year deal say to you? I'm a Philly for life! And while Philadelphia absolutely has the money to steal from Chris Rock, you can drive a car with your feet, but that doesn't make it a good idea, does it? He's the best, though. Other players love him. Why? He keeps driving up the market. Yep, we want $1 more. It's actually $5 million more than Giancarlo Stanton's deal, and Stanton's deal had opt-outs. His does not. So you get this ridiculous 13 years, $330 million deal. Annual value only 25.4, which is the 14th highest in Major League history. No opt-outs. Massive contract. But here's where he's the worst. Do you think Bryce Harper really wants to spend the rest of his adult life in Philadelphia? Wants to play in the same division? West Coast dude? Phillies might, look, they got a chance to be a little bit ahead of the curve, although Atlanta's got better young pitchers and maybe better overall young players. And there's still the Nationals that have better pitching. And oh yeah, by the way, we can, if you're a Mets fan, you can decry how badly, poorly the Mets have been run, but the Mets made the playoffs and the World Series, you know, once, and the playoffs, what, two of the last 4 years. Like, all right. So it wasn't one of the prime markets he'd love to be in. It's not with a historically great franchise, nor one that he grew up rooting for or even rooting against. It's in the same division as where he used to play, which eventually will wear off, but still is tiresome. And in order to get that ridiculous deal, it's 13 years. 13 years. So Scott Boras is the best. He's the best. He told everybody Bryce Harper is going to get crazy money plus $300 million. People said, you're crazy. You're crazy. He said $400. This is classic Boras, by the way. You put out a number like $400 million. That's what we're going to get, $400 million over 8 to 10 years. And now you get him for 13 years, $330 million. Like, see, you got yourself a bargain. Or you're paying $25 million a year for the next 13 years. The genius and diabolical genius to one agent is remarkable. And that's what today has become about. We can go back to not really caring about baseball because to me it's a financial story. This also strikes it as, hey, there is no collusion, especially when there were a couple, there were three or four teams that were reportedly interested in Bryce Harper. And when those teams are not named, the Cardinals, the Yankees, the Astros, frankly, the Dodgers had the thing smart. We'll pay, overpay you, but only for a couple years. Those are the franchise that's seen Boston Red Sox. And some of it is they already have guys, but a lot of it is that just does that doesn't make sense to have that on the books for that long. And there's also a no trade clause, which, look, if it gets ugly, you know, can that be changed? Of course it can be changed. But this is one of those, it's the best and it's the worst. It's also the best because it dries up the value of superstar players, but it eliminates any sort of middle class, which is what baseball and, frankly, everyone else in the world has been fighting for. Baseball has the haves and the have-nots and not much in between. Aaron Judge, you're very happy today because you're next one up to get a huge deal. Nolan Arenado got a deal. It's more than Nolan Arenado, although far more years. Mike Trout, going to get crazy money. And oh yeah, by the way, you got to feel pretty good if you're an Angel fan, because the thought was the one place he would go would be the Phillies. Although the Phillies would probably say, look, in 2 years when he's up, $25 million for Bryce Harper is not going to be that much money. We'd gladly spend even more on Mike Trout. But I think there's a bunch of baseball teams that frankly are happy about this. All that money into one guy. The mid-level guys are kind of being squeezed. And you end up sending him to a place where he kind of fits them, but he kind of doesn't, right? Like, Philadelphia is one of those places that you respect how much they like sports, but you don't really like how they like sports, right? All right. We got to get to the Jason Witten story, which is interesting. We got to get to the Kyler Murray measurements, which are interesting. Let me give you the Kyler Murray thing real quick before we get to Charles Davis, who's going to join us from the NFL on Fox. The Kyler Murray thing, people say, well, he's 5'10" and a hair. He's 204 pounds. He's essentially an inch shorter and has an inch smaller hands, but is the same height, same weight as Russell Wilson. Now, Wilson had to lose weight for the combine. Kyler Murray had to gain weight for the combine. But when people start to go, well, look, he's 5'10", he's big enough. This is I didn't go to or graduate from college guy. I'm fully aware that Steve Jobs went to Harvard and then withdrew and started Apple and became an iconic American entrepreneur. I'm fully aware that there are a list of people who have not gone to or completed college who have been successful in their personal lives and in their professional lives. And they have not one, not two, but three commas when you look in their bank account. There's a handful of people like that. But there's a book called Freakonomics. You ever read Freakonomics? The idea of Freakonomics is this. There's a stat for everything. A stat for everything. You're less likely to be unhealthy. You're less likely to smoke. You're more likely to have a sustained marriage and have a better job and have a better life the longer you go to school and the more accomplished you are in school. Additionally, your life is, all of these things point better in terms of probability if you have two parents in the home. So, can you have a single mother or single father? Can you drop out of or not go to college and be successful? Yeah, man. You're a hungry dog and you find a way? Absolutely. But the odds are stacked against you. And that is what Kyler Murray's truly up against. We haven't talked about his leadership. We haven't talked about whether or not he can process and understand reads and change a play and read a defense. We're simply saying, well, yeah, I know he's small, but maybe not as tiny as you thought. And because other guys that are kind of small, not as small as him, have been successful recently, you should go with the number one overall pick. There is reward there, but there is inherent and obvious risk, and the stats are there to point them out.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
But Jason Witten's back in the National Football League to help us tell us if he can still play as Matt Mosley. Mosley couldn't play in his prime, can't play now, but he has a great podcast called the Doomsday Podcast with our guy Ed Werder. He also writes for the Dallas Morning News, and it will be releasing a special episode when they're talking about Jason Witten's news later on today. What was your reaction when you heard Witten back to the Cowboys?
You know, Doug, I really thought you were going to have me on to talk about that Baylor comeback last night over the University of Texas, but my reaction to Witten was not one of shock at all. I think this has been in the works for a while. I think there was a bailout plan almost executed during the season. I mean, he was looking for an escape hatch from that Monday Night Football booth, and I think Garrett was talking to him during the season. And I think he really just wanted to come back and end that thing right in the middle of the season and show up. And at some point he decided, no, let's try to make it through the season. But this was something. I mean, he's dealt with people maybe not liking him or opposing fans not liking him. But I've known Jason for a long, long time, as you know, and he had never dealt with the kind of criticism and the Twitter just angst and fury that he dealt with this season. So this has been in the works for a while, and this gets him out of the booth into the Cowboys locker room where he's more comfortable, and then we can see if Jason Witten becomes the future head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Whoa, future head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
There you go. Yeah.
That's the plan?
I mean, that would not surprise me at all. This is a lame duck year for Garrett. Now, maybe Jason kind of helps in the locker room. Maybe they have a decent season, and maybe Garrett wins himself another couple of years on the contract. But you know, they're letting him coach into the final year. That's never a great sign. If this thing goes south at all, they're going to be looking for a new head coach. And, I mean, it's just easier to take Witten from the team than take him straight from the booth. And so
I absolutely disagree with you. If he was going to be a head coach, come straight from the booth, then you get to see all the other teams, and you get to pick the players that you want. You get to meet with other coaches and get a really good feel for how other people do it.
Oh, I think that's overrated. I mean, these meetings that they always talk about, do you think they actually tell them stuff, Doug? I mean, you think they're just opening up to I mean, even the great Aikman, you think they're just like, here, look at our game plans. Look at what we're doing. Troy, they're not telling them that much stuff.
Well, I mean, first of all, you can watch tape. You can decipher for yourself. Second of all, they tell you more. I got to do an NFL game sideline. They tell you a lot of stuff about personnel, about guys.
You're good. They're in their Monday Night Football.
He could have gone into every one. Has a tight end ever become a coach either? Usually it's a quarterback.
Oh, goodness. Now you're going to make me think. The quarterbacks, but you've seen offensive linemen, you know, have a history of becoming head coaches. I mean, it seems like the Titans hire most of them. Linebackers, you can see it with the Texans right now. There's no reason in the world why a tight end can't become a head coach. I mean, here's the thing. Okay, here's Jerry is in love with Jason Witten. And I'll tell you how high that is. Even more than Romo. People sort of thinking, you know, oh my gosh, Jerry. He does love Romo. Romo named like one of his kids after Jerry or something. I think one of his kids is named Jones. Seriously. And one of his sons is named Jones.
Jones Romo is kind of, that's a baller name, by the way. There is a
connection between Jerry and Witten. And even when I was kind of toying with Jerry after games, like, hey, what do you think about how Jason, I mean, they're giving him a hard time about this broadcast. I mean, he was defending him to the hilt. I mean, he's telling me, I was just in a meeting with the broadcast team, and they're telling me how improved Jason is. I mean, he was having his back as a broadcaster even. I mean, he's more of a son to him than Romo. And I'm just saying, do not be surprised if that's where this thing is headed. Now, if we have an argument, you know, we can probably have differing minds on whether it's better from the team or the booth. That, right. You make some good points. But he's going to be a head coach with the Cowboys at some point.
Wow. Matt Mosley, with all kinds of different hypotheses and theories and ideas, covering the Dallas Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News, joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. How much money can they what's the least amount that Dak will take, but that they're going to have to give him to get him to sign long-term?
Oh, you know, Jerry doesn't mind paying or overpaying a quarterback. And boy, they're going to make this work. And, I'm trying to think where they'll start it. What was the last, Doug, you know all this stuff off the top of your head. What was the last huge quarterback contract that went down?
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, it won't be Rodgers money. Because that would, but I'm thinking more someone like on their second contract, like that's more in Dak's neighborhood. I mean, he's the very fact that he plays for the Cowboys and he obviously they've had him at this incredibly low rate based on, you know, his production. And you can argue, I mean, I think he's got incredible intangibles. Is he one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play for the Cowboys? Not even close. I mean, and I think his ceiling is still below the kind of player that Romo was. But now they respond to him and they love him, so he's going to end up getting a huge contract. I mean, he'll get paid like, I mean, okay, I'll tell you who's a better quarterback.
Derek Carr, he got $70 million guaranteed, averaging 25 a year.
He'll get that. Yeah, for sure. For sure, and they won't even blink on that deal. He'll get whatever the car.
How much does the Randy Gregory news hurt them?
Oh, he's a good player. I mean, and it's a sad deal because this is a guy that's really struggling with addiction, and has some trouble with anxiety and other. I think there's some mental illness issues that come about that he's really struggled with. So. You know, he's one of those guys the offseason's horrible for. I mean, like, he needs to be around the team at all times. And so, you know, I don't, you know, it hurts them. I mean, it makes it, you know, they're going to have to look at defensive end because Taco Charlton really hasn't been the guy they'd hoped he would be as a first-round pick. So they're going to have to, you know, it kind of reinforces maybe because of Witten coming back, they're a little less at tight end and a little more at defensive end and defensive tackle. But, you know, you can't ever count on him being there. I mean, it's just kind of sad. You kind of have to go in the draft thinking that a Randy Gregory's not going to be there. And then if he's there, it's icing on the cake. Like, it's a, you know, he's different. You know, Irving's kind of a, David Irving is an extremely talented guy.
Yep.
who's just always going to be in trouble. Gregory is like a really, really good person, great guy who's just an addict and is a victim of, hey, you know, whatever you say, in this world, it's not the marijuana laws is in terms of the NBA and the NFL aren't going to change in time to help Randy Gregory.
Is it? It's only weed. Like that's what he's getting kicked out of the league for because he won't stop smoking weed.
Yeah. He's got weed. He's got. I mean, that's it, man. He's treating all sorts of stuff with weed, and he thinks it helped, but he can't. I mean, he can't get away from it. And the only way he seems to stay clean at all is if he can be around the team. But I mean, this is kind of Josh Gordon like. I mean, I'm not saying they're different
But the Josh Gordon thing, it came out. It was more than just everybody said. Well, why are you suspending for weed? And then he came out, and it was like actually it was a lot more than weed.
He was doing other stuff. You're right, and that goes way back to his, you know, the time he spent with us in Waco, Texas. But I think with Gregory, it's mainly. I don't want to speak definitively that it's nothing else, but he's got issues with marijuana, and he just cannot stop. And they seem to do a pretty good job with him when they can get him around the facility. And all that, but boy, you get him in the off season, and this thing may even go back to the season. I don't know when sometimes you go through this appeal process, and so you don't exactly know when it happened. But this is like third strike for him. They'll rally together. Jerry will try to take him in and beg for, hey, bring him back. So I would bet he's suspended for 4 to 8 games. And then they'll get him back at some point next season. But it's really sad because he's a good player, a good guy.
By the way, Neil and Sean both tweeted at me. So did Mike. Mike Kerbs, one tight end who became a really good coach was Mike Ditka. My point is only like, look, Ditka won a Super Bowl, but how long has it been since Mike Ditka was a coach? I'm not saying you're wrong in that there have been linemen, and it's the trend now is, and frankly. What Jason Garrett is, former quarterback, play caller, coach, even though Jason Garrett doesn't actually call plays for the Cowboys, which is just, that's another level of odd. Matt Mose, thanks so much for joining us. Can't wait to hear the new Doomsday podcast or read your work in the Dallas Morning News. Thanks for being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
Doug, great atmosphere at the Farrell Center last night. See you later.
Hey, you gone? You still there?
No, I'm here.
Shaka Smart keep his job?
Nah, they probably need to move on. It's not working out. And boy, he was doing some showboating on that sideline when they were up by 19 last night. But they, you know, he wasn't hired by this AD. So this, at some point, this new AD is going to get his own guy in there.
Yeah, Chris Del Conte, who's the former AD at TCU. It'll be interesting. They're not yet out of tournament hunt, which is odd. But yes, a 19-point loss to Baylor, who lost one of their best players earlier this year, is not the type of look you want at UT. Thanks so much for joining us.
No. Okay, Scott Drew, Coach of the Year. Bye-bye.
That's Matt Mosley.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Bring in John Paul Morosi. He joins the show. Have you talked to Boris?
Not yet today. I have texted with him a bit, I will say that. But it is, Doug, a landmark day in this particular offseason for baseball and the way the season's beginning, because as of this morning, Doug, there were a lot of people around the game, myself included, who would have told you that there was probably a better chance of him going to the West Coast than there was to Philadelphia. And here we now have the largest contract in the history of the game signed for him to go to Philadelphia. The money obviously is massive, but to me, a couple of surprising parts, the AAV is not record-setting. It's in the mid-20s. There is no opt-out at all, and that is pretty surprising. Obviously, the full no-trade clause, so he is committing fully to Philadelphia. And I look at it, and I share some of your concerns. I also think about, and I think we mentioned this the last time we talked, those quality-of-life questions and going down in the same division, how this certainly changes his legacy in Washington, D.C., and the antipathy he'll hear on the road in New York, in Atlanta, where the West Coast would have been a fresh start, closer to home for him, where, he, of course, he grew up in Vegas. He'd have spring training close to home. I am surprised. I do think that there would have been some higher AAV deals out there for him, but he wanted the term. He wanted to be a free agent one time, according to what Scott Boras has told Joel Sherman. He wanted one more contract for the rest of his career, and by all accounts, Doug, he has that.
He told Joel Sherman that there are offers of $45 million a year. If that's true, then this is a stupid contract. I'm sorry. Like, that is the dumbest thing I've – is a dumb contract to take.
Well, if it was 45 times – and I get what you're saying. But
times three?
If it was 45 times three.
Okay.
Yeah. If it was 45 times four. I mean, so in your estimation, that's preferable for you to take the shorter-term deal
any financial advisor would tell you the more money up front is smarter financially. He's not a pitcher. His arm's not going to fall off, right? He'd be back on the market in 3 years. He's going to make more money. You know, like, worst case scenario, he could get a $25 million per year deal. He's still in his prime. Like, that makes no sense. Just the ego of, like, yeah, I got to have 13 years just to say I have 13. So we get some massive deal at the end. Like, that doesn't make any, if $45 million, like, once you hit a $40 million a year, you're signing that short-term deal, especially if it's three years or 4 years, you're back on the market in your prime. That doesn't make any sense to me.
That's a fair point. And to me, Doug, I think, and this is the beauty of free agency, because you get to decide what is important to you. And to Bryce Harper, I think a few things were really important to him. Number one, setting the record, which he has done. Number two, apparently, I say this apparently because we have not yet heard him vocalize this, but I do think this is a major focus. He is signing in a very hitter-friendly ballpark, a place where he can chase records, and he can do it for as long as he wants to. Now, there are those that will look at Harper and wonder if in 7 years, which is midway through this deal, that maybe he would have benefited from being a DH.
Yeah, where are you gonna play?
Well, now, this is the beauty of the term on this deal. I'm a believer, Doug, that by the time we're at that spot in this contract, I think the DH is going to be universal in Major League Baseball. I do. I think that's part of the evolution of the game. So maybe the Phillies felt a little more comfortable with that part of the deal. But apparently he really wanted to not ever have to worry about going through this again. He wanted to have one place, and I'm... that it doesn't really make sense to me, and it sounds like it doesn't really make sense to you, but Scott Boras has said to Joel Sherman, and I was told also by a source very close to the situation, that Bryce Harper truly did not want an opt-out, that was his choice. I was told by a source he did not want any opt-outs. He wanted to have this be as long of a term as it could be, and clearly that's what he's got, tying a Stanton's deal for the longest term in the history of the game.
J.P. Morosi joining us, John Paul Morosi joining us, covers MLB on Fox, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. What was the, do you have any idea what the final offer was from the Nationals?
The Nationals, I don't believe, Doug, made an offer that was substantially different from the one they made at the end of the regular season.
Which was?
And that was, as we know, $300 million over 10 years, with a third of it deferred, according to MLB.com, and also that... you know, that when you think about that amount of money being deferred, that does certainly change that present value of the deal. But notably, and this is where I think it's going to feed into the conversation a little bit for Harper and when he goes back to D.C. in the first week of the season, oh, by the way, April 2nd, mark your calendars, the Nationals front office, Doug, they've got a lot of cover here from the PR standpoint. They made him an offer that we could talk about the deferred money and everything else, but the sticker price was $300 million over 10, which actually carried a higher average annual value than the deal that he signed. And he said no to that for justifiable reasons, but the reality is he said no. Very few Nationals fans, and maybe even none of them, could credibly come on this program today and tell us how the Nationals screwed this up. They made him an offer for more money per year than what he signed. So they have got plenty of cover, public relations-wise. They signed Patrick Corbin, who they really needed. So the Nationals, if I'm the Nationals today, I feel pretty good. And also, by the way, the one thing about him staying in the division is when he comes back, that's going to be a major gate attraction. There's going to be some pretty compelling theater in this division for a lot of years to come. So while you don't love playing against them, it's going to be great for the drama. I mean, this is going to be a dramatic division now for years to come. And Bryce, to me, he has done a great favor, Doug, to all these sports writers and sports commentators on the Acela corridor, because they now have plenty to discuss. And we'll have that, you know, that's going to be 18 times a year they're going to play. It's going to be a beautiful rivalry with a lot of memorable confrontations, I believe. This is a deal, as much as I thought that he was going to go west,
yeah.
This is a good deal for baseball.
No question. In terms of, I do think it's ironic though that he wants to go to a hitter's ballpark when he was at the Nationals Park, which is, you know, if you go home run park factors, better hitting park than Citizens Bank. Home run in park factors, you know, it's the fifth best home run park to Citizens Bank in Major League Baseball. Like, those are two hitter friendly joints, and he wouldn't have had to move. And he would have made more money per year. Like, I don't get it. But okay, I know it's only $25 million a year, so it stands to reason that they could still go after Trout. Does this make it so that Trout is this them saying, "Hey, we're not going to get Trout. We're just going to get Bryce Harper. He'll be our guy."
No, I think that Trout, here we are 2 years away, I think is very much in play. I don't know, and of course, it's a little premature to say too many specifics about what the plan is, but if you were the Phillies, if you wanted to spend stupid money, as the ownership had said this winter, but you wanted to be spending stupid money prudently in a way that preserves your options in the future, you would arrange the deal exactly as they have arranged it. Because the key thing when you talk about being able to afford Trout is the luxury tax hit. And when you spread out the guarantee over a larger number of years, then the revenue sharing hit is annualized over that amount of time, and it gives you the ability to fit more contracts in there. So the annualization of that money is really important, and that does give them flexibility. So if I'm a Phillies fan today, I'm thrilled. I'm also excited about what could happen in a couple years' time, because they can afford Trout. And also, I'm in the process of trying to figure this out. We may be talking about, Doug, the first time in baseball history that one team has acquired three players, position players, who were all-stars in the previous year. It's not just Harper. It's Harper, Realmuto, and Gene Segura. Three. Three guys that were representing different teams last year at the All-Star game in Harper's old ballpark are now playing for the Phillies. And, oh, by the way, they also added a former MVP in Andrew McCutchen. There's a lot going on with the Phillies right now. I still think they may want to address the bullpen and maybe even add a lefty starter. How much money they have left to do that remains to be seen. But, Doug, this is it's a great deal for the Phillies from the standpoint of being able to spread out that cost over 13 years. I share your concern about, certainly as with any long-term relationship, there are bound to be conflicts during the course of it. But if for a team that really set out to make a statement this wintertime and put themselves back on the map, as they were a destination for players during the Howard and Rollins and Utley era, they are that again. This is going to be one of the most talked about teams in the sport. And right now, Matt Klentak, John Middleton, Andy McPhail, a lot of really happy people there at the Phillies camp in Clearwater, Florida.
Great stuff as always. John Paul Morosi, JP, thanks so much for joining us. And on this, which, without any question, a historic day in Major League Baseball. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. The last day of February, Doug. We're going to remember this conversation well. We'll talk a year from now, let's hope, and revisit how year one of the Harper era went in Philly.
That's a deal. John Paul Morosi joining us, MLB on Fox.